Good morning. Well, how's everybody doing? Can you breathe? Has the pollen taken over you yet? Anybody have a day where they woke up and they felt like they were the extra in the cast of a Rocky and their face was swollen because of the pollen? I've been outside some this week and I thought, my goodness, this stuff is powerful. Right? It's like the spirit. It is in you. It is in you and it stays with you. Well, listen, I'm so glad to be able to wrap up our series today on Love Reigns. I love Easter. I love what it means. I love this time of year, the hope of spring, and what it means to the world and to our lives. And so as we wrap up today in this Love Reigns series, as I was preparing for this message, this song came to my mind. And it's a song I've known my whole life. And I remember somebody sharing with me a little bit about the story of how it came to be, but I took some time and went back and read an interview with the people who wrote it. And the story is that they were two English teachers, two high school English teachers is how they started their careers in life. They set out and they both had degrees to teach high school English. And she had just given birth to their third child. And her husband was actually overcoming a very serious bout of mono. And he had been very, very sick. And I can only imagine a mom with a newborn baby and two other small children and a husband who is that sick and how overwhelmed she must be. There was also in the height of times where there were lots of conflicts in our country and in our world. And she was feeling very overwhelmed about the thought of bringing a child into the world and what that meant to the future for that child. And she sat down and she penned the song that we know as Because He Lives. Now, I had not known that Bill and Gloria Gaither started out their lives as English teachers, but it makes perfect sense because they are really good writers. And so to think about that, to think about that's how that song got its start. I wanted to just read the lyrics from this song to you today as we start out. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold our newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because Christ lives. And then one day I'll cross that river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he reigns. That comes from a verse in John chapter 14, verse 19. Where Jesus says to his disciples, before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Listen, so far in our series, we've talked about how love reigns over our past and over our present. We've talked about how the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus proves that he reigns and he is love. So love reigns. But in all the directions that we look, sometimes it is the hardest to look ahead and have confidence that he is already there too. You see, we can spot him in a still photograph looking into the past. You know that hindsight is 20/20, right? When we look into the past, we can see him there. And in the present, there are moments when we can tangibly feel him with us. And we know that he is here. But it is hard to trust what is over there and that he is already there. Right? Have you heard those jokes about people say, are you coming to the party? And you say, well, who all's there? You know? And that's how I feel some days when I wake up and it's like, it's time to get up and get on with your day. And I'm like, but Lord, who all is there? I might not want to go to the party today, which is work and life and in general, depending on who all is going to be there, right? But here is the truth. Wherever you are headed tomorrow, whatever journey that you have to walk into. I don't know who all is there, but I do know that He is there. And so it can be so hard, though, at times to be confident in going forward, in looking into that future when we can't see what's there. My favorite verse of all times is Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Now listen, what this tells us is that we are given this longing for eternity and the future by God. This desire to know what the future holds is actually put into us by God. It also, though, tells us that despite how much we want to know, it is impossible for us to fathom what God has done from beginning to end. So He put in us this question that we cannot answer. Well, that wasn't very nice. He's created this in us, this longing to know, and yet we are also incapable of fully understanding it. But there is beauty in all of it, and that is the promise that He gives us. There is beauty in all of it. And so listen, the wondering about tomorrow is part of who we are. Wondering about tomorrow is a part of who we are. But it's our humanity that turns wondering into worry. Our humanity turns the wonder of tomorrow into worry. Anybody else worry about some stuff? Mm-hmm. We worry about some things. It's okay. We all do. We worry about things. Now, I want to pause and make this one little caveat here. Because I've grown up in church my whole life. And in charismatic church. Okay. So here's what I want to say really quickly. There is a difference between the natural worry that comes as part of humanity and the affliction that is anxiety and depression. And I want to be clear before I go further with this. Because I know I've seen the effects of this teaching at times. I've seen the effects that it has on people who walk struggles. And a battle with the illness of anxiety and depression is not a sign of a lack of your faith. It is a very real thing. And so I want to tell you today that if what is a natural human tendency to worry and a battle that we can overcome has become an unbearable weight of anxiety and depression for you, that there is hope in Jesus. And part of that hope can very much be that He has equipped amazing men and women, some here in our own church family, who are therapists and counselors who can help walk you through strategies to overcome that in a full healing and restoration. But there is a difference between the worry and struggles of life and the very real condition that is anxiety and depression. And I have to say that very openly because I've seen the damage of not addressing that that has happened to the people in the Church of God. And the way that there are so many who have felt like they were failures in their faith because of something they struggled with. And there is a difference between the two. So I want to, first of all, tell you today, there is hope for healing for you. But that weight of anxiety and depression, it requires healing. It requires healing. And listen, the Word of God says, by His stripes we are healed. So there is healing for you today in that area. But it does require the work of healing, and it requires the work of the great physician. And many times the great physician uses the men and women of God that He has equipped to help people heal. So you are not meant to walk through that struggle alone. And you should never feel the burden of shame for walking through what is a very real thing. And what we are talking about today is the worry that comes in life. And a lot of times, remember, the enemy loves to take what is a gift of God and corrupt it to try to use it against us. So the wonder that God has given us, the desire for the future and for longing and for what is out there, humanity, our sin nature, the enemy loves to come in and corrupt a God-given wonder and turn it into an overwhelming weight of worry. But they are not the same thing. You see, one comes with it anxiety and pressure and weight and an increased fear and sense of trepidation about what is to come. And the other, the wonder, comes with an anticipation and a hope for what is to come down the road. And a confidence of whatever is here, the truth of the word of God says, all things will be made beautiful in his time. And so there is a difference. But today I want to look at what the word of God tells us when it comes to worry about the future. Worry about the future. There's this funny little video of this little girl trying to fasten her car seat. And she's working hard to fasten it. And if you're a parent, you know, there's nothing that is more torturous than watching your children try to do something that you could finish in 2.5 seconds, but they're learning. Mm-hmm. And she's trying, and her parent keeps saying, "Do you want me to help you?" And she looks at them with confidence and says, "Worry about yourself. Worry about yourself." And so when I was reading these scriptures today talking about worry, I kept thinking of that little girl saying, "Worry about yourself." Now, as a teacher, that is a phrase I use on a regular daily basis. Please worry about yourself. Worry about your grade. Worry about your clothes. Worry about your mom. Worry about you, right? But let me tell you something. Worry is just this very real thing. And you know, as a parent, when you're watching your child try to do something that should be easy, then you start to worry. Oh, God, she's never going to be able to buckle her own car seat. And if she can't buckle her own car seat, then she is not going to be able to buckle a seatbelt. She is not going to be able to close the door. If this child cannot buckle a seatbelt, she is not going to be able to live on her own. That is how worry works. Do you know it's true, right? You know it's true. They go to camp. They come back with no shoes. And you think, oh, my gosh, they will never be able to live on their own. And worry just takes us off a cliff, right? I came home with no shoes. And my mother was worried that I might not be able to live on my own. But I'm here. I'm doing it. And most days I have shoes. Most days I have shoes. Sometimes I can't find them. That's still part of it. But I have this phrase that I say to our youth today. And so this is the point for today's message as we get into God's word and look at how to deal with the weight of worry for our futures. The phrase is, God's got you and you've got this. God's got you and you've got this. And there's probably not one teenager that I've come across in the past 15 years who hasn't heard me say this statement to them. God's got you and you've got this. Let's get into God's word in Matthew chapter 6, looking at verses 25 through 32. Some of these are going to be pretty familiar verses to you. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" Let's just note here, if we could, some of us would be up there in the Methuselah era of how long we had left to live. "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So don't worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need, that you need them. Listen, I love this verse because first and foremost, it notes God's provision for all of creation. It reminds us that God is not just the God of us, but he is the God of the entire world. That he spoke everything into existence and created each and everything here on this planet. And so not only does he have time to be caring for you, he cares for the birds of the air. He is responsible for the entirety of creation. And you are the most valuable. You are the most valuable. He is not blind or deaf to your needs. He is not blind or deaf to your needs. The Lord's Prayer has a line in it that says, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Any of you think about, I mean, those of you who grocery shop obviously have to think about what you're going to eat tomorrow and then like the day after, right? And then the day after that. And some of us are already thinking about what we're going to eat as soon as we get out of here, right? We're preparing for it, right? It's on our mind. Yeah, that was a teenager, of course, so you know how that goes, right? But listen to what this prayer says. This is the model prayer for us. Give us this day our daily bread. And I saw this quote. This is what it said. It says, what this is really saying to us is give us what we need today. Not so much that we might forget about trusting you in the future. And not too little that we are tempted to take matters into our own hands. But just enough for today. You know, here's the thing that goes back to that scripture about God that we cannot fathom from beginning to end. We are not capable. We do not have the capacity to understand the fullness of God's plan. We would be overwhelmed by it. And so, whether it comes to the needs of our physical bodies and households, to the needs of our spirits and our minds, we must trust that God has the whole plan and he will give it to us as we need it and as we are ready for it. There are seasons in your life where you get a little bit more of the plan because God needs you to take steps to prepare and move in that direction. And then there are days where you wake up and you may think, I do not know what we're doing today. But the Lord has that worked out as well. And so when we begin to get to a place where we say we do not want worry to be the weight of our life, we have to begin to trust that God's word is true. He knows. And so, God, I just ask you, give me what I need today. Give me what I need for today. The Andrew Jackson Marathon circles through our neighborhood, and so they're out there every year we see them. And there's always these stations, just like a table, like six people sitting there with water cups, and nobody's there. And nobody will be there for a long period of time, right? But then here will come some runner, you know, and they will come by and they will hand them the water. And I was just thinking about that as I was thinking about this, is that, you know, those people who start out running, which, I mean, let's all pray for them. 26 miles, we have cars. It's okay. People love it. I get it. It's for them, not for me, right? And they set out on this run. But here's the thing they know. For the most part, you cannot run that distance without some type of a replenishing. You're going to need some type of hydration or fuel to finish. And so they just set out running. and they trust that the people who have organized the race, hear me, they trust the people who have organized the race have strategically stationed places along their path that will provide for them a moment of refreshing and replenishment. You see, because the people who make the race have mapped out its course and have set it in place and have marked the places with which to provide for people who will need refreshing. And so the racers can run confidently knowing that even though they begin to feel parched and worn out and exhausted and overwhelming, and even though they might not be able to see what is coming, they trust and know that soon there will be a spot of refilling and replenishment. Hear what I am saying today. Remember to yourselves that the Word of God says that we are running our race. And the Lord will not set you onto a path of a race to run without providing for you the needs and things that you will have to have. There is a plan. Your daily bread is there for you, and it will be there for you, even when the path dramatically shifts. Because here's the thing about life. It has this amazing tendency to just completely shift directions. And you can just be running and getting on with things, and you heading down the road, and the next thing you know, it's completely blocked off. And you have to change course. And that surprises us. How many of you have ever been surprised by life in a good or a bad way? Sometimes a mix of the two, right? Sometimes you're surprised not in a good way and it turns out well at the end, right? We get surprised by the course of life. But remember, God doesn't, because he's already in tomorrow. And so he is not surprised by where you're going, even if you are. There's this verse, it's the future verse. Anybody know what I'm talking about? What's that verse about our future? Oh, we love to quote it. You have it on a desk calendar somewhere. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Don't you love that verse? You might want to read the rest of it, though. You might want to read around it, because here's the thing. That little promise that the Lord gave, it wasn't fulfilled for 70 years. That wasn't really the thing I was thinking when I was praying and believing on that verse, right? 70 years is a long time, right? Now, here's the thing. This is not a negative thing. We have to remember this. It is positive. We have to note that first and foremost, God has plans for a hope and a future for us. But it might not happen on Tuesday at 3 like we had hoped. And we also need to remember this, that God is a generational God. And hear what I'm saying to you. I am walking in the answered prayers of the family before me. My children will walk in a new freedom that is the answered prayers of my husband and I, because God is a generational God. And even if you do not have biological children of your own, you are the spiritual fathers and mothers who are praying and believing in the hope and future that God has given you, and you are planting the seed for the children of the next generation. I have to tell you, I look around this room and I think of so many of you who sowed into my life. So many of you who from your own, even in seasons where you did not have, you gave so that I could walk. And today I am walking not only in my parents and my grandparents and their generational blessing and hope for the future that the Lord gave them, but in many of you, I am walking in your prayers being answered, because God is a generational God. And until he returns, summer and winter will continue. Until he comes, generations will to continue to come after us. And so we are always living with the promise of a hope and a future, and not just for us, but for those who are coming. And so when the future and tomorrow weighs heavy on you, we take comfort in these verses that remind us that he has a plan and a hope and a future for us. But remember that it is not just a hope and a future for you. When it says us, it means God's people. It's God's people. So look at the verses before Jeremiah 29:11, verses 5 through 7 of that same chapter. God says to them, build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters for marriage. I like to take that part. Hold on. I like to take that part really seriously. You see where it says find wives? That means the Lord don't always trust you to pick your own. I'm just throwing that out there for those generations who are coming up or those people whose pickers are broken. Sometimes you got to ask somebody for help. Just saying. Anyway, side note, asterisk in that point in the message. Give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Now listen. Right after that, he tells them about the hope and future that he has for them. But in these verses, he's letting them know, get about life and business. And listen, they were living in a corrupt culture. Remember, he says, in the city that I have given you over to in exile. They were not in the place they wanted to be. It was not the neighborhood or the home they had picked to raise their children in. It was not an ideal situation. They didn't have a choice about where they were. And things were not easy for them. But the Lord tells them, I have a hope and a future for you. But he reminds them to get about the business of living. Wherever you are, build your house. Plant your garden. Raise your children. Raise your grandchildren. Go on with life and seek me and know that I have a hope and a future for you. I have a hope and a future for you. One of the things I love about that verse is it says, pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. That meant that a corrupt city prospered because God's people were in it. Not because God's people took over it. They didn't lead it. They were not in power. They had no control. The place simply prospered because God's people were in it. And so here, listen to what I'm saying to you today. We may never be able to pick and choose the perfect leaders, because there's not any, because they're all people. But God is in you. And you have the promise of a hope and a future. And the Lord is with you. And so wherever you are, the place where you are can prosper because you're there. Whether that place is corrupt and not of God, whether that place is smack dab in the middle of a corrupt culture and environment, that place can prosper because you are there. And God's favor is on you. And his promises and his hope for your future is on you. So listen, even in families that are a mess right now, let me tell you something. You go into your family, God goes with you. So pray for the prosperity and peace of your family. Pray for the prosperity and the peace of the place where you work. Pray for the peace and the prosperity of every place that you are, because God says to seek the peace and the prosperity of where you are, because you will be blessed by it. God is in the business of blessing and providing for his people. And being in proximity to his people oftentimes brings blessing to those around them. Can we begin to share the wealth of God's presence more than the heavy hand of what we think is his rule? After Jeremiah 29:11, it says in verse 12, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." God's got you. He hears you. No matter what part of life you're in, no matter how difficult your job or your home life or whatever direction that life has thrown you in, no matter what path this place seems to have taken you down, even if your GPS can't seem to locate you, God can see you. And he hears you. And he has got you. And so, because he lives, we can face tomorrow. The next point, final point for today, you've got this. You've got this. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 33 and 34, it says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself." What did tomorrow say to us? Worry about yourself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. Seek him first. What's that? Really begins to let us know is that our job is not to figure it out. Our job is just to seek him and his righteousness. And when we seek him and his righteousness, and we begin to allow tomorrow to worry about itself, because Jesus is already in tomorrow, then we can walk in what is today. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, "We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." He prepared in advance. Don't y'all love somebody who plans? I love somebody who plans. I'm the one who plans. I love me and my plans. I'm thankful for my plans. If I did not plan, we wouldn't be anywhere. It's amazing, really. I'm just thankful that he makes the plan. Because, y'all, this thing of life is like showing up on a trip and we don't even know where we're going, but somebody else has taken care of all of it. And here they give you your ticket and they tell you where we're going. And it is just wonderful, right? Because if we begin to realize that life is not so much a slog as it is an all-inclusive resort, and we just show up and God keeps handing us things. And meanwhile, the Lord is standing here with a plan for us. And we're like, "What's the plan?" "Well, I think we need to go over here." And the Lord's like, "Here's the plan. I've got the plan." "Well, what about tomorrow?" "Got it covered. Itinerary is set. Going to be some bumps, little turbulence, but we got it." You have been created on purpose, for purpose, and there is a plan. You may not be feeling it. You may not be seeing it. You may not be 100% sure of where we're going. But you were created. I love that it uses that phrase, God's handiwork or workmanship. Because it means that not only our physical and spiritual bodies, not only were those knit together and crafted by a God who creates, but the entirety of our life was created and crafted. And any time that brokenness enters, it's okay. Because the one who created us knows just how to fix it. Just how to repair it. Because he created it in the first place. And no one cares about your life like the one who meticulously formed it. For purpose. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22 says, "Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." Listen, this is telling us you have been commissioned and established and equipped for his promises and his plans. You've got this. The difficult diagnosis, you've got this. The challenging home life, you've got this. The trauma and how you're walking through it and out of it, you've got this. You've got it. I can't give you any more surety than saying, God's got you. And you've got this because he works all things together for your good and his glory. And so, child who he knit together perfectly and for purpose. Child whose life was broken and interrupted by the poor decisions and choices of other people that you had no control over. Child whose hurt and heartbreak came at the hand of a broken world. Listen, there may be breaks and there may be cracks that have come along your way and in your path, but God, who formed you and fashioned you, knows exactly how to fix and repair you, and he will if you will just surrender over to him. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. How many of you have heard this verse? Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Y'all ever seen a little kid who thinks they're carrying something heavy, but dad's just walking behind them holding the weight? And they're like, "Oh, yes, I mean, look at me, I'm carrying this." And they keep taking, and meanwhile, dad's walking behind it. Oh, don't you know the Lord is looking at us the same way? Look at you, carrying all these heavy things on your own. Look at you. And meanwhile, he's over there letting you know he's got it. Thank God he does, because my arms get tired trying to carry the weight of the world. Peace that transcends the belief, the circumstances, will guard your heart and mind. I don't know how to explain it. And if you've never experienced it, it's my prayer today that you do. But I can't explain to you what it means to have a peace that transcends. But until you have walked through a dark moment and found peace in it, an inexplainable hardship, and yet there was peace in it, you almost feel embarrassed, because it should be not so. How can we have peace in this moment? I'll never forget my senior year of high school. My baby cousin Jonathan died at 5 months old. It was negligence that cost him his life. And I'll never forget the Sunday after, my uncle's a worship leader, and he stood in front of the church and he said a statement that has stuck with me the entirety of my life. "I may not have my son, but I have my song. I may not have my son, but I have my song." That is the peace that transcends understanding. There is a peace that comes in knowing everything may not be perfect right now, but God's got me, and so I've got this. I've got this because God's got me. You can face tomorrow because his love that reigned yesterday and is reigning today, his love that conquered death, hell, and the grave, that love is already in tomorrow. So Lord, today, can we ask you, God, that you turn our worry into wonder? Because of your love for me, I can wonder about tomorrow. I can have hope for tomorrow without the weight of worry. And ultimately, that truth of that peace comes down to the truth of John 3:16. Author Anne Lamott says, you can bury the truth, but you can't keep it there. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. So I can face tomorrow because he lives. This week, my dear friend, her mother passed away, and in her late 80s, she passed away. And her funeral, I went to, and I told her later, I've heard the phrase before that there is beauty in the death of the saints. And as they stood and people began to talk about her life, and they talked about all of the things that she had done and the ways in which she loved her family and her community and her church, her pastor talked about how she was so concerned with the weight of the world around her that she would often call her pastor and let them know what they needed to be taken care of, because she was in tune and cared about the world around her. But they began to list off a marriage of 60 plus years, and children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and a life spent in service to her community. And it was sad, and there was sorrow because she was no longer with us. But yet it was beautiful to know that she was now face to face with her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there was something in that moment for me as I was preparing for this sermon this week, sitting there, that let me know when my life closes, the testimony of my life will be, God had her and she had life. And whatever we do with it and however it goes, may our testimony be that we walked with the Lord, that we built our houses and planted our gardens and raised our children, and we sought the peace and the prosperity of the world around us, and we trusted God, and we walked with a peace that passes all understanding because he lives. God's got you, and you've got this. His love reigns over your past, over your present, and it reigns over your future. He's already there. As we close today, it's funny, I texted Megan, do you know this song? And she was so generous, she didn't text me back and be like, duh. But as we close today, I want to ask if you would, and you can stand or stay sitting, whatever suits where you are right now in this moment. But we're going to sing this song, Because He Lives. It's an old song. But it is a true statement that we can hide in our hearts today. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Can we sing today? You may stand, sit, whatever you feel led to do today.